want to begin this time by saying we love you, Lord. And we lift up our hearts before you, Lord. That you might look into them and, Lord, deal with them and draw them back to yourself. Lord, we look to that precious blood by which we can come before your throne and hear your words. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit that dwells in us and is willing to teach us, anoint us, bring us into that relationship that we need in Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for these things. You have been generous to us. And that is not even close to what you've done. But Lord, we want to come back with hearts of thanksgiving this morning. I ask that you now anoint us, Lord, that we might both speak and hear and fellowship in the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I wanted to begin with that song this morning. I wanted us to be able to express our gratitude and love back to the Lord. Now, I'm speaking this morning, if I get there, on Revelation 12, the woman with the man-child. And at the very end of the message, I had just one brief thought about passion. But I cannot get away from that brief thought this morning. And so, if you'll just bear with me, I have some things on my heart this morning I just want to share. It's on this matter of passion. Passion. You know, passion is a response to something that has gripped our heart. Passion is a response to something that has gripped our soul. When I think of first love, I think of intense passion. And so I guess it's on my heart. It's been on my heart personally. But I want to fellowship with my brothers and sisters about this matter of passion, because without passion, brothers and sisters, where are we? Where are we in our Christian life? Are we really in first love if the passion is gone? We come on Sunday and we come to the Lord's table and I say, Lord, I need passion. I need first love when I approach this table, because this table was given to me in first love and your love for me. And I want to respond, Lord. But these hearts, they're so fragile. These hearts are so easily encrusted. Oh, Lord, plow up the fallowed ground. You know what fallowed ground is? You know, the farmers, when they... This is not in any of my notes, brothers and sisters, so just bear with me. But this fallowed ground, you know, it's ground that has produced once before. But through the winter months, you know, the crop, we got a big cornfield near us and they cut it down. And all during the winter, you know, the roots and everything begin to decay. And there's rain and sun and snow and the ground just gets crusty on top. And so as the spring comes, the farmer goes out and he plows up that hardened surface, that it might receive the seeds and the rain, that it might grow. Now, I relate that back to passion. I think sometimes our hearts need to be plowed a little bit. But as we were sharing on this story out of Luke 7 this morning, my heart's really touched with this woman's passion. Her passion for the Lord. You know, She was not an invited guest, was she? She wasn't invited. But she had heard somehow about the Lord being here at the Pharisee's house, and he was going to be talking with this Pharisee and probably others that were there, and she saw her opportunity to be with the Lord. She saw her opportunity to be in the presence of the Lord. And she could not resist. She could not hold back. She had to be there. You know, she could have been rebuked, I guess, by Simon for coming, but she was not. It was in her heart. She had a passion, you see, for the Lord. And nothing could get in the way of that passion. Nothing. Not even possibly being humiliated or rejected. It was not going to get in the way of her passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. And she comes and she anoints our Lord with this precious oil. We know it was a custom, as our brother said, in those days to anoint a guest with oil and to wash your feet. And she came, stood behind our Lord Jesus Christ, anointed his head with oil. And brothers and sisters, that's not a custom of ours today. But you know that oil was not easily come by. It was expensive. A costly oil, and I have to say, I think it represented, that oil represented her entire being, her whole life. And she was willing to just pour it out on the Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because she had seen the value of our Lord. And she had a passion. All the oil that she had, probably she brought with her that day, to pour out on him, the one for which she had such passion. And she poured it on his head and anointed him. And she couldn't hold back. The tears began to flow as she came into the Lord's presence. The one who was going to die for her sins. The one whom obviously she recognized as the Son of God, and she came, and the tears could not be held back. Her passion for him was so great. And the tears began to flow. And she noticed that his feet had not been washed. She took those tears, let them flow upon the feet of our Lord Jesus. She did not have a towel with her, nor had Simon provided one, and she began to wipe his feet with the hairs of her head, weeping, washing. Brothers and sisters, how refreshing that must have been to our Lord Jesus Christ. He wipes our feet all the time, brothers. Have you not had the encouragement of the Lord Jesus in your life, even recently, maybe even this morning, when you may have been feeling a little bit down and the Lord just kind of touched you in a small way and you find that your feet are washed? He washes our feet all the time. But she came and she washed his feet. She brought refreshment to the Lord's, not only his body, but to his soul. It did mean a tremendous amount to our Lord Jesus Christ. Then she began to kiss his feet. That is a humble, lowly place. I don't know that I would kiss anyone except the Lord Jesus Christ. He was so valuable to her, so precious, such a passion. She even kissed his feet. It was love. How dearly she loved our Lord Jesus. It wasn't a kiss on the cheek like was a normal greeting, but on our Lord's feet. Passion. I love the passion this woman had. That is a passion that I desire in my own life. I really do. I want to share that with you as brother to brother this morning. I want that passion. And I look at Simon. Simon had invited our Lord, but he had not even offered the most common courtesy to our Lord of washing his feet or having a slave girl wash his feet. He didn't have a passion for Christ. He took this man for granted. He came in. He wanted to hear. He wanted to see who he was. Obviously, he did not recognize who he was, did he? But she did. She knew. And the passion was great. There was no passion in this man, Simon, for our Lord Jesus Christ. He did not anoint his head. He did not wash his feet. He did not even offer the greeting of a kiss on the cheek. This woman came as a stranger, but Simon was the real stranger, wasn't he? He was a stranger to our Lord. But this woman, with such passion, so encouraged the Lord, so pleased the Lord, he brought it to the attention of Simon. Oh, Simon, you do not know what you have missed. And in front of Simon the Pharisee, he made it very clear. This woman's sins who are great, I forgive. Brothers and sisters, the one we come to is the one, the only one that can forgive our sins. No one else can do that. No one else is qualified to forgive you of your sins. People may forgive you of your offenses against them. But the sin of that offense, only the Lord Jesus Christ can forgive. I wonder what it is that steals our passion, brothers and sisters. What is it? Why is it that the heart is so easily encrusted? It could be many things, couldn't it? Sin in our life that we just won't deal with. It's hard to be passionate and come here in the on Sunday morning and be passionate when there's a sin there in the way, isn't there? Brothers and sisters, there's many things. It could be our love for something in the world that has gripped our heart. And anything else that grips our heart steals that passion. The first love, honestly, is gone when the passion is gone. It could be the cares of life. I've thought about that, brothers and sisters, and I think it applies to our young people as well as us as adults. And we have busy lives. We really do. The world sees to it that we have a busy life. And sometimes we let the world take control of our lives and it gets busier and busier. What was the Lord's warning? He said about the seed falling into ground, and But the briars come up with it and steal it. Take away its fruit. The cares of life. He warns us about these cares of life. He knew it was going to be critical. I would like for us, me, to maybe reevaluate the things in our lives, these cares that so consume us and steal our passion. Now, I'm not saying that I don't love the Lord or that you don't love the Lord. But is it first love? Is it first love? That is what the enemy is stealing from our Lord Jesus Christ. And the willingness to come in response to Him. I think just self-concern, self-desire, our own self-centeredness, brothers and sisters, steals that passion. You know, we could be spending time with the Lord, but hey, I enjoy something else more. Well, obviously, this woman, there was one thing in her life that thrilled her, and that was the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. Passion. Passion. I want us to think a moment about the Lord's passion. When He was in the garden, it talked about sweat drops of blood. So intense was that moment that He was having before the Father. And it says that angels came and had to strengthen Him. At least He would have died right there in the garden. Lord had such a passion for His Father. Brothers and sisters, He went to the Father and said, "Father, if there's any other way that this cup can be taken, do so." We know He went three times. That's His humanity. We're like that, brothers and sisters. Humanity is not evil. But when Christ joins with humanity, it can be glorious. And our Lord Jesus was saying, "Father, I have such a passion for You. I don't know how much the Lord being God, but when He was in that garden, He was the Son of Man, how much He was able to anticipate what that separation from the Father would be like. He had never experienced that. In all of eternity past, and that's a long time, in this short time of 3 hours out of all of eternity, He was going to experience a separation from His Father, which meant so much to Him. Do we find ourselves at times separated from our Lord? Oh, it was so disturbing to our Lord Jesus Christ to be separated even for 3 hours. He had a passion for His Father, and the Father had a passion for the Son. And of course, we know that the answer to our Lord was no. It doesn't say this in the Word. But no, Son, you need to take the cup. I don't know if the Father would have forced Him to take it. But the Lord had a passion for God's will, didn't He? He said, "Lord, it doesn't matter about me. Father, it doesn't matter about me. What matters is Your will be done." Brothers and sisters, the Lord made us in His image. I want you to think about that a moment. We are the only creatures that God created, including the angels, that were made in the image of God. In other words, they weren't made in His image. They are spiritual beings. We are the only part of His creation that was made in His image. To be those who could possess His character and nature, not His deity, but His character and nature. Brothers and sisters, that's what we were made for. Humanity is precious in God's eyes. But humanity had fallen. It was marred. The image of God in man was marred, obliterated. All that remained was a spirit dead before God, not alive to God. And I don't know what the Father said to him, but it was like, "Son, I've had something on my heart for you all through eternity. And that was in humanity, might become your helpmate. To go with you and to walk with you throughout eternity future. That is my desire for you. It's not good that man be alone and you are the Son of Man. It's not good. You need a helpmate." This fallen humanity, I want to redeem it. I want to restore it. Yes, as God, I could do away with it. I could just start all over with something else. I'm not going to do that. I'm committed to mankind. I'm committed to humanity. I'm committed to Jerry Amon. I'm committed. He's to be part of your bride. Part of that helpmate that I so desire for you, son. Christ said, "Okay, Father, I love them too. I love them like you love them. I understand. I'll pay the price. I'll drink this cup." So intense was that moment of passion for mankind in the Lord's heart that blood began to flow from His pores and the angels came to assist. He loves us. He has such a passion for us. Think of the Lord's passion on the cross. The multitudes that had cried out, "Crucify Him! Crucify Him." What were they doing? They were there at the cross to observe, to look. Our Lord Jesus Christ had been whipped with the cat of nine tails, as they call it, with little bones at the end of the leathers. His back was probably completely stripped bare down to bone. And He was forced to carry that cross beam of the cross up Calvary's hill, brothers and sisters. Exhausted, near the point of death, He falters on that path. And they assign another to help Him with the cross beam. And He's taken to the cross. And He's secured there with nails in His hands and nails in His feet. Brothers and sisters, He had already said a legion of thousands of angels could come to save me. But they didn't. He had a passion, brothers and sisters, for you and me, for Jerry Amon. And He let them drive those nails in His hands and feet. And He hung there on my behalf, on your behalf, because He had a passion for you and for me. The crowds had cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." The Lord looked down and he prayed a prayer. He said, "Father, forgive them. They do not know what they're doing." Can you imagine? Can you imagine the passion in our Lord Jesus' heart, the love that he had, that these crowds that had demanded that he be crucified, he asked the Father to forgive them. Because he knew they had been duped. He knew that they had come under the influence of the Pharisees. He knew that they didn't understand. That was his passion. "Father, forgive them." The Lord Jesus looks at his mother. She's over there, I'm sure, weeping with the other women. Thank God for the faithful women that were with our Lord to the end. Only the Apostle John of the Apostles was there with him at that time. All the others had scattered. They did not understand. They were confused. John obviously was holding his mother, trying to comfort her. The Lord Jesus had other brothers in the flesh, but he looked at John, and I don't know if they were there or not, but he looked at John and he said, "John, I love my mom. You've got to take care of her." It's such a passion for his mom. But then he heard the thieves on the cross mocking him. And finally, one of the thieves said, "Wait, don't you know who this is?" He asked the Lord, in the moment of this intense pain and horror, he asked the Lord, "Lord, will you remember me when you come into your kingdom?" The Lord loved him. The Lord had passion for this thief who had been mocking him. One of the two thieves that had been mocking him, and he had compassion, and he said, "Yes, you will be with me this day in paradise." Why was the Lord even concerned about this thief hanging on the cross in all of that pain? Brothers and sisters, he had a passion for man. He had a love for mankind. He knew the condition we were in, and he died that we might be saved from our condition and the damage that sin had done. Our Lord Jesus cried out for water. They gave him vinegar to try to numb him with some myrrh in it. He wouldn't take it. Then that horrible 3 hours came upon him of darkness. The whole sky was darkened. It was a dark day. As the father had to turn away from his son and allow his wrath that was intended for you and for me to fall on his son. I've thought about this, all the sins that Jerry Amon has committed and probably will commit. All the sins that each one of us have committed. All the sins of the world, all the murders, the lies, even the evil thoughts in our heart were poured upon our Lord Jesus Christ, and the wrath of God fell upon him. And he cried out, "My Father, why hast thou forsaken me? My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" You know, at that moment, the Lord could have cried out, "It's enough. I cannot take it anymore." But He didn't. He loved His Father so much, and He was being forsaken. Nobody has ever been forsaken like our Lord Jesus Christ was on that day. I don't know about your lives personally, brothers and sisters, but I would say for all of us who are a little older, we've had those experiences in our lives where we thought that God had forsaken us. But He hasn't. He was there. But after those 3 hours were over, our Lord Jesus gave up the spirit. He says, "I commend my spirit into your hands." Brothers and sisters, that was not a defeat. That was a word of victory. I have come through. That's what He's saying. I have come through for mankind. Lord, I have paid, God the Father, I have paid the price for mankind. I've paid the price for Jerry Amon. I have a passion for Jerry Amon. That's why I went through the cross. Passion. Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, last time I shared on Revelations chapter 8 through 11, I talked about judgment, God's judgment. Because in those chapters we begin to see the judgment of God on rebellious mankind. Christ died for these ones. But in their rebellious heart, they could not turn to Christ. Brothers and sisters, you think about it. Why? We've all got rebellious hearts, don't we? Why? Why did you turn to Christ? Because when you did, the wrath of God was no longer on you. But for all who do not turn to Christ, that wrath remains upon you and upon the rebellious mankind. Brothers and sisters, I said that what grace cannot achieve, the judgment will. In other words, God in His grace and His passion for man has given up His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, for us. That we might not suffer the wrath of God, but we might become a part of His kingdom, His children, to be an inheritance to Christ, to be the bride of Christ. That's what He has done for us. But for the rebellious, all that remains is judgment. What grace does not accomplish, judgment will. And we see the judgment of the last days coming upon this earth on the rebellious ones. Why? Because the kingdom is coming. The kingdom consists of a king. And all those in the king's kingdom, brothers and sisters, must have submissive hearts. They must be subject to the king willingly. So judgment was necessary. But brothers and sisters, do you realize that the Lord Jesus Christ has waited for what, 2.5 millennia, 2,500 years for man to turn. He has a passion for man. Judgment is his very last option. He's long-suffering because he loves, because he has a passion for mankind. I think I need to stop here today. I haven't got to the lesson. But this thing of passion is so critical. I really do. I have been so convicted that, Lord, where is the passion? Where is the passion? Without passion, you will be taken care of. The Lord loves us. But without passion, is the Lord taken care of? You see, when that woman came with such passion, it refreshed our Lord. That's what refreshes Him. Washes His feet. So let me end with this encouragement, brothers and sisters. Let us just consider this week and think about this matter of our passion for the Lord. And maybe what will be helpful is to reconsider His passion for us and His willingness to give His all and even His life for you and for me. Lord, we just come to You this morning. Lord, I just want You to touch my heart deeply. Lord, I want to be in first love. I want all my brothers and sisters to be in first love. Lord, we don't want that passion to disappear in our lives. Lord, what is a life without passion? Lord, grant that You might strengthen the love in our heart for Thee, that it becomes a passion that cannot do without Thee. Lord, a passion that is willing to give up the world, willing to give up our sin, willing to give up the things that our flesh so dearly loves. Lord, even our soul unto Thee, that You, Lord Jesus, might be refreshed, that Your feet might be washed. Lord, when we come next Sunday to this table, I pray that it will be a room full of passion. In Jesus' name, amen.